phone talk with Zeke.
Howdy.
How's it going?
Not bad. Not bad.
Took a while for you too to get up.
Wake up, boy. Something about that summertime. It's the sort of thing where I imagine it's sort of like just sort of nice, mellow area. You realize, oh, responsibilities aren't that overwhelming. Things aren't that pressured. Maybe come September we'll get stressed again. But in the meantime, let's just have a good time. So what did you do this weekend? Did you do any fringe?
I actually went up north to relax and take a break.
Did you have a good time there?
I did. It feels good to go out in the country every so often. If you don't have a chance to do that, you should do that. Consider that something that you should do if you don't want to travel outside of the province or the city. You could just go in your own backyard, quite literally, and go up up north anywhere or go even in the eastern townships or wherever you want to go. And it's so relaxing.
We're gonna have to get you to do a travel bit, the sort of vacation piece.
I should. Uh-huh. Well, a lot of people seem to be going to the Maritimes these days, actually.
Okay.
I can always mention why that is, but I could save that for another day. I'm sorry, Marco, you say why is that? It's probably because it's so close to home, and it really is going through a revival right now when it comes to tourism. Happening there with restaurants, with its own music scene, art scene, and a lot of other different really interesting things. And Maritimes in general. It's a very, it's a...
Quiet.
Getting more and more attention.
Good place to hang out in a hammock.
Yeah, that too. Anyway, we're digressing.
That's fine. It's weird. Margaret, did you see any Fringe Festival?
Yeah, right.
She's part of the Fringe. She's always part of the Fringe. Margot is Fringe.
I heard about it, though. It sounds interesting in all these different, I was thinking theater.
Theater, dance, comedy.
Okay.
I wanted to actually check out that show called Boy Named Ralph or Girl Named Ralph. I don't remember what it was called.
I don't know because I only did dance.
Sabrina, did you see
any of the Fringe?
But it sounded really funny. And there's other ones as well that sounded pretty. There's a few that were pretty.
I ended up seeing a bunch of dance shows, and then it was on Thursday, had almost all the dancers that I saw in studio on microphone all at the same time. It was a large party here in the studio, but no, I saw some very, very nice things. I saw, deep breath here, I gotta remember, look at my notes, concentrate, As Duas, who is a local duo. They have stuff, their studio is up on Van Horn. And they do this I don't know what you'd call it. It'd be sort of undressing, dressing, playtime, so on and so forth, which is very, very nice.
Marco remembers that.
No, once they showed it on the television, this group of people, and they were undressing. I was like, whoa, how do you do that? That's good.
And then there was dancing in my unbirthday suit, where it's also another local dance troupe as well. And there, it's one of the highlights of that was not a strip tease, but a get dressed tease. Actually going around putting on clothes and doing it to your cliched stripper music as opposed to taking off your clothes. But to me, the two highlights probably were this piece called The Accident by a guy, Jono Katz, who is from Australia. And so maybe he will, tour around the world or do something with Empire of the Sun, because he's actually... now wanting to switch from doing Fringe Festival stuff to doing video and more stuff where he can just sort of be behind the cameras and probably in front of the camera as well. I need to go look at his stuff. But his whole thing about The Accident is now that he's playing in Ottawa, I can tell everybody, no fear of plot spoilers or anything like that, because it's not coming back. But basically, he tells a story. He's got one person on stage, which is him. No props, no costume changes, only every now and again some music changes, and it's absolutely riveting. But it tells the story of two brothers, one who is the younger brother, who is... theoretically autistic, but probably not. And then the older brother, who is much more right wing and sort of let's make some money, let's get some money, let's do it now. And then for one reason or another, the older brother is impotent. And but the older brother what is it, proposes, that's the word, wants to get married to his longtime girlfriend, but then wants to have one of these open relationships. The girlfriend, yes, that face describes it all, Liz. The girlfriend says, not on your life. So then the younger brother ends up commiserating with the now ex-fiance. They have a couple too many drinks. There's this wonderful scene where Jono dances the salsa with himself because he's playing both roles. And then, yeah, one thing leads to another and whoops. The younger brother, which one, ends up fooling around with and getting naked with the ex-fiance. They wake up the next morning. The ex-fiance doesn't remember a damn thing because she just had too much to drink. And the younger brother says, whoops. Life goes on. The younger brother decides that he wants to do this thing, which is basically, do you remember Cloaca number 5, which played here at the Université du Québec à Montréal in the gallery, the machine that basically did a lot of crapping?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I do remember that.
Jono incorporates that into the play, and at which point the younger brother wants to build one. The older brother does the financing and stuff like that. It ends up having a sort of subplot that gets you off the fiancé getting pregnant because the fiancé and the older brother get together. And suddenly, she has the baby, and the older brother thinks it's a miracle, and everybody ends up sort of going home happy, although as the audience, you end up sort of going, And it sort of made me realize that one of the things that makes a very good fringe show is where you are just bearing all emotion on stage. And when you think that the performer is actually telling you their life story in its entirety and being utterly and completely honest, bare and brutal with you. However, in this case, Jono does not have a brother. Nobody built a shit machine, which is what he calls it, although it's really Cloaca number 5. And yeah, but it's very, very nice.
Named the baby Cloaca number 5.
No. That's the art piece.
All right.
However,
he was impotent.
But no, the brother that doesn't exist, Jono's brother that doesn't exist is impotent, yes.
Doesn't exist.
But
that brings it all to light now, but it doesn't exist.
You're bringing up a really good point about especially the performances at Fringe, because there are some that are based on those true events or coincidentally true events, and there's others that aren't at all and are totally
but
pure fiction, you know?
It's, so it's the sort of thing where you just gotta,
you gotta get to
the just root of the, emotion and just say, okay, there are these emotions that work, and you can hold somebody riveted in their seat by just attacking, holding on, and using it. Yeah. The other second show that I thought was absolutely fantastic and amazing was called Peepa by Tamara Ober, who came from Minneapolis. Yeah, you going to do any secret stashes from Minneapolis bands, like a Husker Du or something?
Perhaps.
Cool. Husker Du is my vote.
Or Prince.
No, Husker Du.
Okay. Well, they're a great band.
They're way more up the secret stash alley than Prince would be.
True, I know. I wanted to mention Prince.
Yeah, but he's more secret.
No, then go for the time. The time would be a cool one.
But please do.
All the time.
Please do go on.
So much fun.
Anyhow, Tamara is a dancer for this dance company called Zenon Dance Troupe, and her show is Peepa, which is ostensibly about a blind woman, maybe child, something like that. It also could be, as opposed to blind, just easily distractible, and so if you suddenly go, what? And then sort of something happens, and then she keeps walking forward, then obviously she's going to walk into the wall or something like that. And I was discussing with her yesterday, and the plot, while useful as a structure to make sure that she goes from place to place to place, the thing that is absolutely fascinating and wonderful about the piece is her dancing. And so I ended up having to actually see it twice just so that I could remember what the plot was about, because the first time I just was left with indelible impressions of her movements and gestures and so on, and trying to think about, okay, so what happened there? And I just got completely lost. So I went back yesterday afternoon and went to see it, and now I can actually tell you the story, which is basically this blind girl who has to go to the supermarket for her mom, although she really isn't blind, she's just easily distractible. And so as Tamara says at the end, got home without my money, lost the list, didn't come home with any of the fruits and vegetables that her mom had sent her, but she got home and everybody ends up happy and so on. And there was no butterfly. It is very poetically done in a, in a nice way. You missed out on the Fringe Festival this year. This was my first Fringe Festival that I'd ever gone to.
Well, I did go to the two shows last week.
Oh, so what?
We already talked about those ones, though. But I'm talking about this week. I didn't have a chance to catch up on it.
I didn't go at all.
Now I'm confused.
That's pretty
good. Last week we had mentioned about Dracula in a Time of Climate Change, and as well as the other one, which was Don Pompeo Live. That I did end up checking out. I didn't miss out on the Fringe. It's just that I didn't have a chance to catch the rest of the shows I want to see, such as A Girl Called Ralph, which I just finally found the right title there because I got confused, which was supposed to be based on a satire of the Italian type of family dynamics and being born and raised in an Italian family. And it's supposed to be a comedy. But of course, I think its last showing was yesterday.
Yeah, no, the Fringe ended yesterday. So you can do all the plot spoilers you want and so on because nobody's going to be able to see these shows again.
Yeah, and I didn't go at all as predicted.
That's
so
okay.
I was right.
You can go next year. But it is on tour if you go to another city.
Yeah, there's Ottawa, there's Toronto, there's Winnipeg, there's Calgary, there's Edmonton, there's Vancouver, Victoria, and probably a whole whack in the States as well. But if you want to, you can follow these people around and become some sort of stalker, stalker.
A fringe groupie.
Fringe stalker.
I don't want to be no one's groupie. No offense.
And so do you want to talk about the shows you saw? Because I still don't remember anything.
Those were the only two that I had seen, which were 2 weeks ago. And the Dracula in the Time of Climate Change was funny, I have to say. It was a different take on Dracula as a whole, because I never would have thought I would have. I mean, the actor who's performing as Dracula did a pretty good job, and the other actresses around were pretty vegan granola like. I guess there's a word that they, you know, for people who are very much into the whole trendiness of everything must be organic or everything has to be a certain way, you know? I say trend because there's some people that are like that and other people are just really do it naturally because they feel it's a natural thing to do. But it was funny. And the other one, I preferred actually if I had to make a preference, although there were only two shows, as I mentioned, which was the Security Week of featuring different guests. It was like that live talk show feeling, which I mentioned last week anyway. But it was really funny because of the way that it was just one continuous talk show that you are an audience member of, and it's Don Pompeo Live, and so you get to see the actors also performing commercials, which are just so politically incorrect, but was so really incredibly funny, and you couldn't stop laughing during most of it, because they were also reenacting scenes and reenacting, they were doing interviews and reenacting. One point was they were talking about some sort of check at the airport, and if you travel a lot, you see that, you just laugh so much. You laugh so hard because you're like, that's me. If you see yourself there, you know? So I really wish that I could have seen a lot more, though. And I know that there's a lot of shows during the day, which was really, really nice, though, because nice touch for people who are perhaps working at night and don't get a chance to see anything.
Although
at night,
most people work during the day. Then you're making.
Yeah, but some people. A lot of people do the graveyard shift. And some people do a lot of part-time jobs, you know, and sometimes studying, and some people have breaks, some people don't. But it was really, that's one thing that I have to say again, like, kudos and bravo to the team of the Fringe Festival for being able to do a type of show like that that is able to repeat itself. It reoccurs during the weeks that it's happening, and it's pretty self-evident as to where the venues are going to be. In a sense, they have a program there, so you could just read and look it up, and you can also ask, of course, if you go to that park, and then you just get to see it at different times of the day and on different days, and you just have to try to plan ahead a little bit.
Yeah, it requires worthwhile. A little bit of organization, and I just remembered I did see one non-dance show, which was My Pregnant Brother by Johanna Nutter. And that was one of the shows where it was a true story and everything that she did and said was 100% honest and truthful. And she played it for the laughs, but had you not realized she was playing it for the laughs, you would have sort of ended up sort of scratching your head and saying, oh my God, I thought my family was bad. This one is just completely way long gone. was no, it is basically that her brother used to be her sister. Her mother didn't like the fact that her sister had a sex change operation, but it wasn't a complete sex change operation. So then her sister got pregnant, and then at which point trying to figure out what to do with the baby and how to do it with the baby. And Johanna is the person who is sort of, as she puts it, the rock of the family, the one who keeps everybody together and prevents sort of everything from exploding into a million different pieces. And she did a phenomenal job. And then on top of it, I knew half the people who she was talking about. That will be playing again someplace else.
In the city?
She is a Montrealer, and it was one of the more successful shows from the Fringe. It got videotaped. She is a full-time actor. So, yes, wow. My guess is that it will be redone someplace and someplace and someplace, and slowly get more and more embellished, and as opposed to it just being Johanna and a piece of chalk, it is going to be Johanna and maybe a little bit of a set, some costume changes, and we go from there. But as you point out, we're getting up to 8 o'clock and Democracy Now. So I have to,
it's going
to
be now. On soon, so we're going to tune into that. Thanks, Zeke, for your
no problem.
Art
I will
and,
now try
and a nice review of a Fringe Festival for those who've missed out on it or those who did attend. Hope you like what we had to talk about or had to say. You can always write to us if you have any comments. Monday at ckut.ca. We always like receiving comments about anything that may be